was still more. There was still more in his life that he needed so he could grow closer to God in his life. And I believe that is a realization that each of us in our lives need to get. That there is still room for improvement. There's still areas in our lives that we're not exactly where we ought to be. And there's some ways that we need to grow closer to God than we've ever grown closer to him before. And we need to keep growing and keep going in that right direction in our lives. He addresses all this. And then he comes to verse 17. Look with me in verse 17 to verse 21. It says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to do all things unto himself." I want us to look at this thought of be an example. Be an example. There's a song in a hymn book entitled that, Be an Example. It's on 581. It says, "Many now are watching the footsteps that we take. Many soon will follow in the choices that we make. So let us then be faithful to be what we should be and leave a good example that they can clearly see. Let us then be watching their worry day by day, looking to encourage and to lead them in the way, to run the race with patience, on Jesus fix their eyes, and challenge him with excellence that they might win the prize. Be an example of the believer in word and in conduct. Be steadfast in love, in faith, and purity of life. For those behind us, let us stand within the gap and make a difference in their lives. Be an example to follow Christ." Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you for this time that we can open your word. Lord, I pray you help us as we open your word this morning, that you would just illuminate your scriptures to us, and that you would allow your word to be freely preached. And Lord, that you would remove any distractions from us this morning. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. As Christians, we need to know exactly what type of example that we ought to be. We also need to know that our life is an example one way or another. To those that are around us, those that see us from afar, our life is an example. Paul was very aware of this. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, 16, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse number 1, he says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul says, don't just listen to what I say. Follow my example and live it out. Now, I want to tell you, I wish I could say that all the time. Don't just listen to what I say. Follow my example. Now, Paul was not perfect, but Paul had a strong maturity in his life and realized that he needed to keep growing. And as he was growing, he was asking for those individuals to follow his example that he was setting forth. Let me ask you a question this morning. If someone would follow your example, would they be a strong believer? want you to think about this. Paul says, I haven't attained. I know there needs to be growth in my life. I know I'm reaching forth to those things which are before. I know the race that I'm on. I know I need to finish strong. I know I need to do those things in my life. But as I'm doing this, I want you to follow my example, because where I'm headed, I want you to head the same direction. That's what he's saying here. Where I'm headed, I want you to go the same direction. Let me ask you, someone followed your life, followed your example that you set this past week, this past month. They set your example, they followed your example in regards to reading the Word of God. They followed your example in regards to church attendance. They followed your example in regards to giving. They followed your example in regards to soul winning. They followed your example in regards to those areas in our Christian life. Would they be reaching forth? Would they be going strong? Would they be developing their spiritual maturity? What kind of example are we? We're to be an example. Now let's look at this as we look at this morning. I want us to look at verse 17. Our challenge that's given here in verse 17. Do you know there's times in our lives we need to be challenged? A lot of times in our life, we like to just be able to keep on going and no one to stop us. And because if we keep on going the direction we're going and we're not challenged, we're not confronted, we think we're okay. We can keep on going in our life and nothing needs to change. Do you know what Paul wanted to do? He wanted to challenge them because he knew one of the areas against spiritual maturity is when we've gotten content in our spiritual life. Where we've gotten to a place that we think we don't need to worry about it. We can keep on coasting by in our lives. How many have been on a boat before? How many of you have been out in the middle of the water and you turn the engine off and you sit back and you're relaxing? Some of you throw out your fishing pole and you hope somehow, some way you're going to catch a fish. And you sit there and you're floating, you're in there along, and then you just kind of daydream and you doze off a little bit and you wake up and you realize you're not where you were at one point in life. Yeah, the boat has drifted. It has moved away. And a lot of us in our Christian life, we have not been challenged enough. We have not been confronted enough. And we just allow ourselves to be drifting away. And we don't even realize how far from God we truly are. And don't realize we're not going in that direction of reaching forth. We were allowing some past things that we looked at last week, the past hurts, the past failures, past things to hinder us, and we're not going forward, and we're just drifting in our Christian life. The challenge, let's look at this challenge. Brethren, be followers together of me. He's addressing believers. He says the word brethren. He's talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. He's talking about those individuals that ought to have a heart for God. He's talking to those individuals that said there's a time in their life that they received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. He's talking to those individuals that would consider themselves in Christ, bought by the blood. That's who he's addressing. The challenge is to woo the saved individual. The challenge that's given here are to save individuals. If you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me tell you, God loved you. And he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There must be a time in your life that God opened your eyes, you realize your need of a Savior, and you turn by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you put your faith and trust in him, and he saved you. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, today can be your day of salvation. But believer, if you profess it, then there's a challenge given to you and given to me in our lives. If you profess to be a believer, the challenge is to you and to me in our lives. believe a lot of times we come to church, we want to be taught, and we should be. We want information, and we should get it. But we don't want to be challenged. And Paul was challenging them in the area here. It says, brethren, be followers together of me. Followers together carries the idea, imitators together. Imitators together. Those that copy their example together to live out what they're supposed to live in unity, in the harmony, working together. You know what he's saying there, brethren? I want you to be imitators together of me. I want you as a church, the church at Philippi, I want you to come together and follow my example. What's his example? He just gave it to us earlier on. We've been looking at it. That's the example he wanted the church to follow. Brethren, be imitators. And let's follow together our God. Let's look at the example that is set before us. Let's look at the example of Christ Jesus. Let's look at the example of those individuals that have gone before us. Let's follow the example of those that have a desire and a passion to live for God. Let's set that example. Let's follow that example out. Let's be that example that others could follow us and do what God wants to do. Paul says, follow me as I follow God. Now, I want to ask a question as we look at this. We're to be followers together of me. We're to be imitators of those that are living for God. Take a moment. Look at your life. Look at my life. Am I showing that I am imprinting and I'm putting an impression upon others of who I belong to? That's the challenge. The challenge is I am putting marks that others may see who I belong to. As they look at my life, Paul says, they ought to see Jesus and ought to see my heart to live for God, my heart to keep reaching forth, my heart to realize I have not attained, my heart to have unity, my heart to do those things. Let's ask a question. If someone would look at your life and my life this morning and they would imitate it, would they be imitating the marks of Christ's likeness? Would they imitate the examples of Paul and the examples of Christ in our lives? Would your life lead people in the right direction of spiritual maturity? Or would your example, my example, point people in the wrong direction? Or would people just look at our example and stay stagnant in their Christianity or their lives? We're not to be in the past. We're not to allow the things to hinder us. We ought to be moving forward. And if we're not moving forward, we become stagnant in our Christian walk, in a Christian life. And I believe many believers have become stagnant in their Christian life. Look a little further here. And mark them which walk so as ye have for us an example. He says, we need to mark them. That word mark means make a print or a figure formed by an impression. He says, you need to mark them. You need to set them. Those that are good examples for your life. I want you to think about this. Who do we lift up in our lives? I want you to think about it. Because you know what we do? We go to our young people and say, they're a bunch of sinners. They make examples and they want to follow those that are worldly. They want to follow those athletes. They want to be like Mike. They want to be like those individuals, and they want to follow, and they want to be like Bo Jackson, and they want to be like some of those other players, and the Alan Trammels, and those individuals, and they want to follow these examples. They want to follow these examples of these bands, AC/DC, and they want to follow these examples. Some of you go, what is that? That's back when Wade was a kid. And they want to follow those examples. That was still after your time, so I have to go way back. What was back your time? Rolling Stones or something like that, Brian? Or the Monkees or something like that? All right. So we got to go way back. And we say, well, those aren't examples that we should follow. Those aren't examples that we should lift up. Those aren't individuals. And we see, he says, mark them, which are a good example for you to follow Christ. But we in our lives have many examples, many individuals that we have lifted up. And even come to a place where we made idols in our lives, and we allow them to be what we're falling after. But it's not just always the rock music people and this people and that people. I believe we have made even religious people examples in our lives that ought not to be examples in our lives to follow after Christ. I want to say this morning. I want us to get this morning, because I believe we have taken some individuals and made them something that they're not. And many individuals in this room and online and across America today has lifted them up to make them something that they're not. And people said, well, I'm following them, and they're so-called following God, so even though what they say go contrary to the word of God, I'm still going to follow them. There's a problem there. There's a problem. Some people have gotten to a place, even good men, they have followed those men in the wrong direction. Do you know there's been some good preachers throughout the days that are pretty solid most of their days? But something happens when you get old. Your brain starts to change a little bit, all right? And there is one. He was dynamite, and I'm not going to even give his name. He was good, and many individuals came saving knowledge through his ministry. Many individuals, a lot took place, a lot happened. The latter days of his life, he changed some of his stands and views, even in regards to salvation, in regards to that. And you go, how that happened? But do you know there was a multitude of people that knew the truth and knew what the truth was, followed him because of who he was and what his name was. I want us to think about this. Paul says, mark them that are a good example. Let them impress upon your heart. I want you to think about some good examples. Let's look at the Word of God for a moment. Now, they're not perfect. None of those examples are perfect in the Word of God. But let me tell you, no example to follow is Abraham. Now, I'm not saying to follow everything about Abraham, because we know Abraham lied. We know what Abraham did. But let's look at an example of Abraham that we all know and can remember. Remember, he was challenged to take his son Isaac, and to sacrifice his son. What an example to see before us, and how he took it. And he knew God was going to be faithful. And he followed what God wanted to do. No matter what was going to happen, he still did what God wanted to do. What example to follow? What another example comes to your mind? How about Job? Job was a righteous man. Job went through some struggles in his life. But Job did not listen to his wife. There's an example. No, just kidding. Job didn't listen to his wife. Some of you got that. Rex, you need marriage counseling, because you just made that look. But Job was an example of, even when we go through bad times, don't listen to the crowd. Don't listen to those that say, curse God and die. Don't listen to them say, turn your back on God. What an example. What's another example that comes to my mind? Is that of David. David was a man after God's own heart. David was not perfect. David sinned with Bathsheba. David had a man murdered. David did some things he shouldn't do. But let me tell you, there are some good examples of David. David had the faith and trust in God to take on the giants of life. What's some other examples as we look through? You start going through the Word of God. You come into the New Testament. And one that comes to my mind is Stephen. What example to follow? Stephen was stoned for his faith. What an example to follow. Paul himself, what an example to follow. We can go through tonight, this morning, and we can go through many examples this morning, and we can look at many examples that are given to us that we need to follow. We need to mark them. We need to lift them up. We need to allow them to impress upon our hearts. We need to read the Word of God and see these individuals as real individuals that went through some of the same problems, the same struggles, but to see how they stayed faithful to God. And we say, bless God. God, I need your help that I can stay faithful to you and follow that example. But you and I need an example that others can mark. Get this. You and I need an example that others can mark and do. That's hard. But it's what's needed. Look at this generation. What is this generation following? The examples of the generation before them. And then the next generation, what are they watching? The examples of this young generation today. And they're setting their examples, they're setting their lives by watching it. Now get this, not just in this world, in a church. I want us to see this. What examples do we follow, or have we followed in our life in a church as Christians? You have individuals in a church that we've all looked up to, that we've seen as examples. But what has changed over the course of the time? We get into Doris's generation. She followed the examples of what would be some of your great-great-great-grandparents, all right? Not trying to make her old, but she is older, all right? And those examples are very staunch in many different things in their lives. Now, over the course of time, the examples have changed. And what has happened is now the example of individuals today that they're following is far removed from where they once were. I want to use this illustration, and I'm not trying to put anyone down or say anyone's wicked for not doing this. But all of us know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, you would not see one person that darkened the door of a church without a suit and tie on if they're a guy, and without a fancy dress, nylons, dress shoes. Some even wore head things and different things and that. And all the young people of that generation saw the example of that generation, and they would follow that example, and that was the example that was done. Now, what happened over the course of time, the head coverings went, the gloves went, the suit jackets went, the ties went, the nylons went, and some of the ladies go, yes, we're so glad. And some of that went. And gone. And now we see a different generation. We see a different place. Now, I understand we don't have to wear a tie to be spiritual, but I think we need to dress in a way that pleases God. I believe in some churches, not this one, in some churches, they come in flip-flops and shorts and that, and it gives a casual thought in regards to God. They're ready for the beach, not for church, all right? And so that's happening. What example are we setting for this next generation? Can they mark you as an example for growing spiritually in their life? Can they mark you in that way? Can they say, man, this is the example I need to follow so I can be closer to God? If they would mark you, if they would imitate you, if they would, your impression of your life would be impressed upon them, would it be that which would bring them closer to God? There's a thing out there that says this: what is the gospel according to you? I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one would talk with me than merely tell the way. The eyes of better pupil are more willing than the ear. Find counsel is confusing, but the example is always clear. The best of all preachers are men who live their creeds, for to see good put in action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn to do it if you let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongues too fast may run. The lectures you deliver may be wise and may be true, but I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. I may not understand the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. Our challenge is to set the example. Our walk talks louder than our talk talks. We can talk, we can say it, but it's the example we're living. He says, work together, follow me as I follow God, and be an example. Mark them their example and be an example for others to see. That's our challenge. But I want you also to see our caution. Look at verse 18 through verse 19. We see our challenge. But let's look at our caution. This is a severe condemnation. This is something severe. This is something important to get. They profess, yet they contradict their profession by their lives. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and his glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Our caution is this: there are some who have walked and they've gone astray, and now they're enemies of the cross. There's some who followed. There's some who were imitators. There's some who were an example to follow. But because of something in their lives, they have now turned against God. They're not living for God, and they're enemies of the cross. You know what this is saying? The caution is this: if you profess to be a believer and you're not living it, you're enemies of the cross. That's hard. That's heavy. Because if I say I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb, then I better be living that life that's not perfect, but is striving to get closer to God and be an example for the next generation in this world. And if I'm not doing it, if I'm not doing it, the caution is this: I am now an enemy of the cross. I am doing disservice to the name of Jesus. I'm bringing dishonor to the name of my Lord and Savior. I'm disrespecting what God has done for me because I'm enemy of the cross, because God gave his life, his son's life, for me on that cross to transform me, to change me, that I become a new creature in him, and that I live a life pleasing in his sight, and I fulfill the purpose of my life. And for me not fulfilling what God wants me to do, I have spit upon the cross that saved me. And I believe we need to get that today, because I believe many of us do not realize that we are truly enemies of the cross, because we are not living the life that God has called us to live. We are not living in that way. I'm telling you, we say, well, it's no big deal that I do this, and it's no big deal that I'm not the example. It's no big deal that I profess something and live differently. Yes, it is a big deal. You are turning people away from God this morning. We have too many so-called believers in our world today that people look at your example, and instead of it being an example they can mark, it's an example they can't mark, because you're an enemy of the cross and you've turned people away from God, not toward to God. Look for a moment at our lives this morning. you to see individuals that you've come in contact with in your life. And I want you to see individuals you've worked with, you've gone to school with, you've seen on a daily, regular basis. And then I want you to look about how you act, what you said, what you lived, what you complained about, what you did. Well, let me ask you, if they looked and they examined what you did and what you said, would that be an example that they can mark to grow spiritually in their Christian life? If it's not, you know what we've done? We've turned them away from God. And we become enemies of the cross. That's the caution given. You see, I ought to be pointing people to the cross, not away from the cross. My life is to be an example. And I'm supposed to live a life that's pleasing sight. Look again in those verses. I want you to see another truth that's given here. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Do you know what this is telling me? The caution is to those that have turned people away from God, enemies of the cross, because you know what? Their God is their belly. They're led by their appetite. They're led by their appetite. They glory in their shame. They should be embarrassed of what they're doing. They should be embarrassed that they aren't living the godly life. They should be embarrassed that they're enemies of the cross. But they glory in their shame. Do you know what's happening today? We have many individuals who profess to be saved, but they are led by their appetite, their flesh. That's what it's saying there. They're led by their belly. Now, some of you are led by your belly Thanksgiving, all right? Now, some of you have that problem and you justify it because it's a holiday. But you overeat. And then there's something in turkey that makes you want to sleep. And you overeat and you're there. And some of you had to adjust some of your garments to be able to give room for how much you ate, all right? Because that has some bloating take place in your body, all right? We're not going to get too involved in that. But you're led by your belly. You're led by your flesh. You're led by your appetites. And we're led by those things, and we're not led by the Spirit of God. You see, Paul is saying this. Be an example. This is the challenge given. Mark them, and you live an example. You follow. Let's live together. Now the caution is this, there are some that profess to be saved, but they're not living that life, they're enemies of the cross, and they're enemies of the cross because they're being led by the flesh instead of being led by the Spirit of God, and because they're led by the flesh and not by the Spirit of God, they glory in their shame, they don't care what they're doing, they think it's okay, and they laugh at sin, and they laugh at their spiritual condition, they laugh at the idea that they can't be marked by individuals. They're not the example they need to be. They don't care that they're not doing the things God wants them to do. They don't care they're enemies of the cross. How do we get to a place as believers this morning that we would glory in our shame and we wouldn't even care that we're bringing dishonor to the name of God? How do we get to a place in this generation that we don't even care that we're spitting upon the cross of Calvary? We glory in our shame because we're not living that example. We're not living that life. We're not living what we profess. And we have turned people away and we've done a disharm to the name of God. But look further there. Whose minds, earthly things. Do you know there's a lot of believers that are worldly minded in their lives? You know, the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. You know what the Bible tells us? We're to set our affections on things above. Verse 19 says, who mind earthly things. Do you know what that means? Their affection was not on things above. Their affection, their love is on things of this earth. Do you know why we can't be an example? And why we're not the proper example that we need to be? Do you know why we're not ones that people can mark for spiritual maturity and spiritual growth? Because our love is for the wrong thing this morning. Our love is for earthly things. Our mind is on this earth. Our mind is on what brings us pleasure. Our love is not for God. We're to love the Lord thy God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. We're to set our affections on things above, not to mind the earthly things. You know what Paul was saying? You can't be the example that I am, that you need to be, if this earth is what matters to you. If materialism is what matters to you. If worldly pleasure is what matters to you. If the flesh, your belly, is what matters to you. But oh, let me tell you, set your affection, set your love on things above. Stop living for this earth and start living for heaven. Our citizenship. See, we see our challenge. We see our caution. But thirdly, I want us to understand our citizenship. Look a little further here. In verse 20 through verse 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who should change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to even subdue all things unto himself. You know what Paul is saying? You have a challenge. You have the caution. But let me give you help to live how you ought to live, and as an example, understand your citizenship. Understand where you belong. Set your affections on things above, for our conversation, for our citizenship is in heaven. That word conversation carries the idea of our citizenship, our life, our walking life. Our whole being is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who should change our vile bodies. We ought to look for that time that we leave this world. Look for that rapture. Look for that time that Jesus is coming back. Look for that time. Because that's where we need to be looking. We need not allow the earth to affect us. Why is the rapture so important to us? It challenges us to be pure. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sins. You see, if we look at this thought of being citizens of heaven, we look at this thought of being with him in glory, we look at this thought of him changing our vile bodies into a glorious body as his is, we look for that time, we look at this idea that we on this earth ought to be living a pure life. The rapture is coming, but I need to be living for God. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If I'm walking a citizen of heaven, I need to realize I need to be walking on this earth a pure life. And if I'm walking on this life a pure life and being a light as he is a light, then I'm going to be an example that someone can mark in my life. It challenges us to be prepared. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace without spot and blameless. It challenges us to be prepared. You see, this idea of the challenge to walk, as an example, this challenge to walk together, the caution is many aren't walking that way. They are professing it, but aren't living it. But live as citizens in heaven. If you live as citizens in heaven, you're going to be prepared. You're going to be pure. But it's also a challenge in regards to our perspective. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 through 6, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Luke chapter 12, verse 40 says, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. It gives us the idea is we don't know how much more time we have on this earth. And so I got to make every day count for God that I have on this earth. It changes our perspective. Because it changes why I do what I do on a daily, regular basis. Knowing my time could be short-lived. You see, I don't know how much time I have to be the example that I need to be so others can mark me. I don't know how much time I have to be on this earth to be the example that I need to be to point people to the cross. I don't know if I'm going to be here next week. I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. I don't know. But I do know I'm here right now. I do know I have breath right now. I do know right now, right this moment, that I need to be that example that others can mark so they can grow closer to God. The challenge to pass on the gospel. Because if they don't hear the gospel, and they don't receive the gospel, they don't confess the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they won't be with God. You know the example I need to be marked, that people can mark? That I care about souls. I care about souls. I don't care about numbers, but I care about souls. I don't care about getting a notch in my belt, but I care about letting people know there's a God that loved them, died for them, rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. That is my passion, ought to be each of our passion. And Paul's passion was to take the gospel to those individuals. It's also a challenge to participate and be faithful. Do you know we are told throughout Scripture we're to be faithful to God's house and we're to be involved? Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. As you see the day approaching, we need more individuals involved in God's work, carrying out God's commission and mission that we ought to be doing. You see, the rapture gives us this challenge of living this life and being marked as individuals that understand the day is approaching, and as much as day is approaching, I need to be more in God's house than I am out of God's house. I need to be more in His Word than I have been. I need to be more, and we need to mark the example. I started off with this message, and I said, if someone looked at your example of how much time you read in the Bible, how much time would they spend in the Bible, they followed, imitated that time. If they followed how much time you spent in church, how much would they imitate and follow you and you spend in church? Folks, we're professing it, but we're not living it. It's a challenge to be patient. James 5:8, be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Colossians 3:1 and 2, we read this already. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of earth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all saints. We ought to live with love. Our citizenship is in heaven. The rapture could happen. We leave. We don't know how long. We don't know when. No man knows the hour. But we do know one day those in Christ will leave this world. And why I'm here, still here, yes, I'm citizens of heaven, but I'm still here on this earth. I need to live a life as an example. I started off with that song in our hymn book, but I want to close with reading another psalm. It's a psalm that some of the kids may know, and some of you that listen to Patch the Pirate. This is from the original Patch the Pirate, Goes to Space. And it says, I'll be a good example. I'll walk the straight and narrow way. I'll be a good example, faithful in all I do and say. I want my friends to trust me. I want to keep my record clean. Honest and pure I must be, so my example can be seen. I will do right, walk in the light. Someone is watching all the time. I will be true in everything I do. Make my example glow and shine. We're to be an example. The challenge is given. The caution was given. And our citizenship was shown. Let me close with this thought. It's the same thought we started off with. If someone would mark your example and follow you, would you point them to the cross, or are you considered an enemy of the cross and you would point them away from God? And you know who can answer that question this morning? You and God. If someone would watch every step you make and I make, what kind of example are we setting? Heavenly Father, we love you. And Lord, we